The most major shift of 2024 is upon us, and I am here to tell you everything you need to know about Jupiter moving into Taurus. It is the only major karmic shift that we have going on this year. So what I mean by that is every year we have the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and kind of Mars largely moving through the same areas of the zodiac as they always do, right? Like the Sun basically tracks what we know as like the wheel of the year with the seasons. The slower moving planets like Jupiter, Rahu, and Ketu spend longer in a sign. And so when they move, it has a tendency to be a big shift in the karmic undercurrent of our lives. And so I'm here to tell you about what that shift is, when it's going to happen, all of the details you need to know, and then of course, yoga practices and journal prompts to help you best work with that shift in energy, to instead of having it being kind of cerebral and in the stars and up way up here, bringing it down into the body and into practicality in your life. That's what we do here on the Yogi Scopes podcast. I'd like to extend you a warm welcome. I'm your host, Rosemary Holbrook. I am a Vedic sidereal astrologer and a budding yoga therapist. So I see clients in a yoga therapy capacity. I'm this close to being done with my yoga therapy training. I don't have the certification yet to just call myself a yoga therapist. So I have to qualify it with this context that I've been working on it for going on 5 years now. And I'm almost done. And so I just bring that up to say why I do the Yogi Scopes podcast, because I apply that yoga therapy knowledge of how to bring these transits, these things that we might be experiencing on a very subtle level, down from a conceptual basis that I feel like a lot of astrology resources are, into something that you can use and apply to your life and feel in a more practical sense through your yoga practice. So stick around to the end. That's when I always give you every single Yogi Scopes episode yoga practices and journal prompts for whatever the topic is for that day's episode. And today the topic happens to be Jupiter moving to sidereal Taurus on Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. And this is a big deal. A lot of the times the things that I cover on these episodes are something like a full moon or a new moon, something that only lasts like a day or three, right? Or Mercury retrograde. Thank God Mercury is direct. As I'm recording this, just went direct like today as I'm recording this, or maybe late yesterday. And that one always messes me up. So that lasts like 3 weeks, right? So those are much shorter term things that I'm usually covering on the podcast. When I make these longer episodes, or these episodes about longer transits, something lasting a year, they tend to be longer episodes. So just bear with me, because I'm going to tell you what the archetype of Jupiter is astrologically. I'm going to break it all down for you. I'm going to tell you what the astrological archetypes of how we derive the meaning of the sign of Taurus and what that means when you put those things together, how that might play out collectively and in your life based on, I'm going to pull up some historical events around past times Jupiter has been in Taurus. And of course, the flavors will be a little bit different because, as always, nothing is happening in a vacuum. The last times Jupiter was in Taurus, there were other things happening with these other big karmic planets like Saturn, Rahu, and Ketu, which if you're newer to astrology or more familiar with Western astrology, you might have heard called the nodes of the moon. We call them in Vedic astrology, we call them Rahu and Ketu. So I'm going to touch on that because that's been a big topic coming up in the office hours that I offer weekly to folks in my membership, is this greater karmic undercurrent happening right now with these bigger, slower moving planets like Jupiter and Saturn. And nothing happens in a vacuum. So we're going to talk about what Jupiter and Taurus means, a bunch of important dates that you need to be on the lookout for, like when it's going retrograde, other planets that will be coming into contact with it as it moves through Taurus, and everything you need to know. So this will be a beefy episode, and thank you for joining me. So let's dive right in. Jupiter is known as Guru in Sanskrit. That's the Sanskrit translation for the planet Jupiter. And so that already, if you think about what you know about a guru, is they're kind of the utmost pinnacle of spirituality, right? There's also this masculine element to a guru. Usually, like this whole lineage is pretty patriarchal in nature, so most of the time we're thinking of gurus as masculine. And the source for spiritual wisdom and information, right? And typically we want to think of gurus as benevolent, right? Like they have your best interest in mind and they bestow blessings on you. That's like how we want to think of as a guru. And I personally, I struggle with that one, y'all, because of all of the scandals out there with gurus who, I don't know. I think we can approach it as like, and even, so this isn't just isolated to like the yoga world. It also shows up in pretty much any spiritual community. If you think of like Joel Osteen, like the Christian guy who's like a TV evangelist and he's got like fancy cars and stuff. And anyway, those, like, let's not let some bad apples spoil the bunch, but that's wrapped up in the guru archetype too, FYI. And so I can't separate those things in my head. I think we can try to separate them. That's actually going to be a topic of this episode because Jupiter does represent things like spiritual beliefs, and the guru, right, in that sense. And Jupiter also being a gas giant, it's the biggest planet, and it's just it's sometimes known as a gas giant. It expands things. And so astrologically, we can think of it as this guru that gives benevolent blessings, but also what we'll see, and this will really become clear with some of the things I have to share about just world events from past times Jupiter was in Taurus. Jupiter is like go big or go home. And anything that Jupiter touches, the vibe is go big or go home. And you'll see what I mean. And so Taurus, that's the vibe of Jupiter that Jupiter is bringing anywhere he goes. Taurus as a sign is an earth sign. So it has a connection. Taurus has this big connection to nature, to Mother Earth, to, you think like connecting to nature, just like really being like, if you've ever had one of those experiences where you're connected to nature and it just feels like a really spiritual experience, that's a Jupiter and Taurus vibe. And just generally being grounded. Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus, which brings this connection to wealth, to luxury, to kind of like luxuriating in nature. And then also being the second sign of the zodiac and sort of also combining those archetypes of being an earth sign ruled by Venus, there is a connection to your finances for Taurus, connection to finances in terms of money in, money out, like budgeting, like your bank account, money in, money out finances. Whereas other places in the chart, we'll see like the fourth house or Cancer have more to do with like assets, like owning land, that kind of thing. Eighth house is things like inheritance or like family money. Second house a little bit can be that too. And then 11th house is like gains from career. So finances show up in other ways. So think about second house, or Taurus as like your financial resources, like, and I think in the accounting world it'd be called like liquid resources, like money in, money out, not like land and assets and investments. I'm talking like your bank account, okay? If that makes sense, just to get really nuanced with it. And then Taurus is also, I like to describe it because it seems to make sense, anything that goes into or comes out of your mouth. So it's your diet. It's also your speech. It's how you talk. So with Jupiter in Taurus, we might see people getting really spiritual with their speech, if that makes sense, or like expansive with their speech, just like talking a lot. And then diet, same thing with Jupiter there, Jupiter expands, and Taurus being ruled by Venus, it can be a time that it might be tempting to like overindulge in food or eat a lot. You could be on the lookout for that, but it could also be a time to really maybe like mindfully eat, pay attention to just luxuriating in the experience of eating. That's a good way to sort of harness this vibe of Jupiter in Taurus. And then lastly, Taurus also has connections to your family of origin. So this could be like your upbringing, and also especially how your upbringing or your family of origin influences things like your money stories, your religious beliefs, your food beliefs, your how you, you know, like if you think about like some cultures, I think of like Europe for this, really, like meals are a big deal. Like think of Italy, right? Like they have many courses to their meals and it's like an all day event, right? To have meals. Whereas in the US, our culture is more like go, 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 eat for convenience, right? And it's less healthy, right? So you can think about like how your family of origin or your upbringing influences your culture around food. That is a very Taurus consideration, a Taurus vibe. Okay. And so that's sort of the, those are the two archetypes that go into what Jupiter in Taurus means. So basically, there's connections to like considering how your values around finances, diet, maybe nature, your family of origin, if those things are still serving. And of course, we'll get more into it as we go, and with yoga practices and journal prompts to consider this stuff, to put it into practice, right? And to get really clear about how you want to approach this energy, because it is lasting a year. So now I want to get into some of the more stuff that feels a little bit more nitty gritty, like dates that you should be aware of for this transit. And FYI, this is in the Yogi Scopes planner. If you go to yogiscopes.com/2024, you can get your hands on a physical copy. You can have it mailed to you through a place called Book Patch. And that's what I use this year. I'm not planning to use that again for the 2025 planner, but you can get one mailed to you so that you can have these dates written down. Or also, if you do join the membership, which is now, I'm happy to announce, back open for enrollment. I have switched platforms so that you can come to things like astrology office hours and get these sign by signs that I do. Like, well, I'll dive deeper into the transit per each individual sign. You can go to marshillyoga.com, and when you go to book a class, you'll have to like open it up. You'll see the option to sign up for the Vedic Astrology Club. And I'm going to make a page for it. I just haven't yet. That's an aside. But in the sign by signs also, I will put all of these notes that I make for the podcast episode. So here we go. The dates that Jupiter's going to be in Taurus are from Wednesday, May 1st, which I believe I already said, around 3:30 a.m. is when Jupiter moves there. So it's over that night, but I don't think you're going to wake up on Wednesday, May 1st and everything's going to be different. That's not how these longer transits work. It's more of a slow build up over the course of the year that Jupiter will be in Taurus. For others like Saturn, it's 2.5 to 3 years. Anyway, Jupiter will remain there until May 14th, 2025. And there are several periods within this transit that I want you to be aware of. So like I was saying, I don't think you're going to wake up the day of May 1st and things are going to be different, especially because starting on May 4th, just a few days later after Jupiter moves there, through June 3rd, May 4th through June 3rd, Jupiter will be combust, which is what happens when any planet moves within a certain degree of the sun. And so Jupiter, it's like more degrees. It's not the same amount of degrees for every planet. It has to do with like how slow moving that planet is, really. And so what happens when a planet is combust, the astrological principle is based on the idea that like when, let's say, the eclipse is a really good way to think of this. Like, if you have ever seen a partial eclipse, or even if you went to totality recently for the recent solar eclipse and you were in totality, there was a time before the totality and after that it was partial. And you can't look at it, you can't see the moon during that time without the special glasses. You can with the special glasses, because the sun's too bright, because you can't look at it. And so the idea is when planets get within a certain degree of the sun, you can't see them physically in the sky. You can't, because the sun's too bright. You can't oftentimes observe that, like, oftentimes you can observe a planet even during the day. You can see, like, they sometimes call Venus the evening star, because you can see it in the evening. But when it comes within a certain degree of the sun, you can't, because the sun's rays are blocking it out, at least to the naked eye, right? And so that's the idea behind a planet being combust, is you can't, it gets too close to the sun wants to, like, steal the show, right? And the sun also represents, like, the ego. So the sun is like, me, 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 right? Archetypally as a planet. And that's what happens when a planet goes combust, is it's not able to show itself, to express its qualities. Like I was saying with Jupiter, is that connection to spirituality, blessings, things like that, expansion as well when it's combust. And so from May 4th to June 3rd, Jupiter will be combust. It'll be close enough to the sun that it will become harder to observe. And so that's just what I mean. Like, don't expect to wake up at the beginning of this transit and things to start happening rapidly. I do think it'll be subtle. I think if you're paying close attention, you'll notice the subtle shifts. But I don't think you can expect things to happen rapidly. And that, but that is with a caveat, because on June 1st is when Uranus moves to Taurus. And now that's a big deal, because Uranus stays in a sign for 7 to 8 years. Okay, so it's a long time. And the fact that they are moving together largely for this transit is a pretty big deal. I know maybe if you pay attention to, like, the internet, you probably heard people talking about recently that Uranus and Jupiter conjoined. And so that would have been in the sidereal sign of Aries. Not sure what the tropical folks are saying. They probably were saying it was in Taurus. And so this is why I kind of try to tell people, like, not to worry too much. Like, try not to get confused between the two systems, but often the interpretations are the same. So we can consider, like, oh, it's this big conjunction day that, like, set off this set of events. But really, it's like whatever could have come from that conjunction is going to play out from the moment they were at the exact same degree as the conjunction during the time that they're in the same sign together. And that's from June 1st of this year through December 13th, Uranus will be in Taurus with Jupiter. And so Uranus is this planet of, like, it's often associated with, like, big reveals, like, revelations, if you think, like, things like that. And so I'll say more about that in a moment, just based on some historical events I've seen around other times Jupiter has been in Taurus, is it often has this, like, end of times vibe. And we'll get more into it in a moment, but I'll just tell you, one of the last two times Jupiter was in Taurus was 1999 to 2000. Does anybody remember Y2K? And then again in May 2012 through May 2013. And does anybody remember around May 2012 is when they found that piece of the Mayan calendar? And it was like, oh, the world's ending at the end of 2012, right? And so that's the last two times Jupiter has been in Taurus. Those things happened. And those are the last couple times I remember people thinking, like, the world was actually going to end. Maybe some people think that now, but on a broad scale, I haven't seen it as much. And so anyway, that's about, like, revelations, end of the world in the Bible. Jupiter in Taurus has connections to that historically, to people thinking it's like the end of times for whatever reason. various reasons. And Uranus does have connections to things like that. So we could see more. It could just be a little bit heightened now that Uranus is there with Taurus. It wasn't for the last, or with Jupiter. It wasn't in Taurus for the last couple times Jupiter has been in Taurus. So that's what I kind of mean when I say, like, nothing happens in a vacuum. And there are subtle differences that will make this different than the last times Jupiter was in Taurus. But we can still get good information from that. And then again, Uranus will move back to Taurus. So it'll retrograde to Aries, then it'll go direct, and it'll move back to Taurus again March 18th of 2025. And I have a ton to say about next March. And this Uranus moving there, Jupiter will be in Taurus. Uranus will move back to Taurus. Meanwhile, a lot of stuff will be happening in Jupiter ruled Pisces next March. I'll say more about that in a moment because it really, really matters. And how you approach this transit from the start will help you with that part. Okay, so that's one thing we've talked about. The beginning of the transit is Jupiter will be combust. Then shortly after, around the time Jupiter is no longer combust, is when Uranus will move there. We might see things start to heat up around June 1st. And through that time that Uranus is there. And then the next thing that you should be aware of is on July 12th, Mars will be in Taurus with Uranus and Jupiter. And so that's July 12th through August 26th. And so the reason I want you to know about that, it's not like that huge of a deal, but I do think it will contribute to that, like, things starting to heat up, especially maybe around people getting spicy about their culture's religious beliefs. People getting heated about it and wanting to fight about it. And that we might start to see kicking up in a big way when Mars conjoins Jupiter and Taurus. Okay, and so that's July 12th to August 26th. And then also, FYI, the shadow period of Jupiter retrograde begins on July 15th, just shortly after Mars moves there. And so we often talk about shadow periods for Mercury retrogrades. We don't tend to talk about them as much for these slower moving planets, but I thought it was worth mentioning. So the shadow period of a retrograde is defined as, if you look at the degrees that the planet will be retrograding through of the sign, when the planet moves to the degree where its retrograde ends, that becomes the shadow period, that begins the shadow period. And then it moves backwards, right? So it has to move all the way to where it will begin retrograde. And that is the space of the sky that the planet will retrograde through. So that's the shadow period. And the reason you'll want to be paying attention to, especially with that Mars conjunction brings up, because that will help you work with the retrograde better. If you're like, what issues are presenting themselves right now related to, think about Jupiter and Taurus things, related to your diet, your finances, your family of origin, and especially your beliefs and values around those things and your indulgences. Are you experiencing trouble with indulgences financially, diet-wise, or are you maybe like clashing belief-wise with your family of origin or getting too dogmatic over your family of origin's beliefs? Those kind of things you'll want to pay attention to if they're coming up late this summer, July 12th to August 26th, because it might then heighten during the retrograde, which is October 9th to February 4th, 2025. Okay, and so the retrograde this time is moving entirely through Taurus. And so I also think it's important to point out during that retrograde time, because towards the end of the retrograde, towards like December or so, Jupiter will be retrograding in a moon-ruled nakshatra. And likewise, Mars will then go retrograde where it's debilitated in Cancer. And so if you've been around for a while with this podcast, you know I've been talking about this. This is one of the biggest things that I wanted to point out about the year 2024, is that we have all of these signs pointing towards people fighting over belief systems, basically, and getting really emotionally heated about it and acting, maybe even fighting from a place of emotion. And this is one of the factors. And so you'll want to start to pay attention to it, what's coming up in July when Mars does join Jupiter in Taurus, because that might be a more grounded way for that to play out. So that's like the negative side. The positive side is that, and that's like on a more collective thing with this transit, in your personal life, is it that time when Mars joins Jupiter in Taurus between July 12th to August 26th, is that might give you the energy to really deal with any problems that you're seeing show up with your diet, with your finances, with your values and belief systems, as we've been talking about. That will be a good time that you might really feel like you have the energy to do something about it and you feel fired up enough to do something about it. So that's a good way to harness that energy during that time, when Mars joins Jupiter in Taurus between July and August. And then, like I was mentioning, Mars will be retrograding in a moon-ruled sign as Jupiter is retrograding in a moon-ruled nakshatra at the end of the year. Also, I pointed this out on the 2024 Outlook episode back in like December or January, that will be happening when the U.S. presidential inauguration is. So that those retrogrades will be occurring through January, and was it like January 20th or something? That's usually the inauguration of the president after the election. So that matters, right? A lot, especially if you live in the U.S. Yeah. And so those are just some times to be on the lookout for that people might be a little bit more heated and spicy and emotional and feel like fighting over their cultural beliefs, okay? Because that's Jupiter and Taurus, so just connected back to that. Family of origin, spiritual beliefs, yeah, if that makes sense. Your lineage, right? What belief system do you have passed down to you through your lineage, right? And that's a very Jupiter and Taurus consideration. And then when Mars is in the mix and the moon is also involved because of the moon-ruled sign and nakshatra where these retrogrades are happening, people are going to be emotional and they're going to feel like fighting, and it's going to have to do with their lineage and their beliefs, perhaps also religion, okay? So I'm just saying that's the vibe. I'm not making any predictions about, you know, who's going to get elected or how that's going to play out. But I am just saying people are going to be spicy about it. And that's the astrological vibe. And I've been saying this since I did the 2024 Outlook. Okay. And so the next thing that I have been tracking after that retrograde that ends February 4th of 2025 is March of 2025 is a doozy, y'all, and Jupiter is involved. And so I also covered it on the Rahu and Ketu episode from last fall, from like October, when I was talking about Rahu moving to Pisces and Ketu moving to Virgo. Okay, and so that's a major piece of the puzzle. What I specifically talked about on that episode is Saturn joining Rahu in Pisces. And this is related because Pisces is ruled by Jupiter. Okay. So when you're paying attention to anything, and so a lot will be happening in Pisces, which is ruled by Jupiter, in March of next year. And so I got a new puppy and I don't know if you can hear him. He's dreaming and he's like barking in his dream. I don't know if you can hear him, but it's cute. He's sleeping. He's very tired. We went on a long walk before this. And so, anyway, in March of 2025, here's a list of what's going to be happening in Pisces. So Saturn is going to move there towards the end of the month, towards the end of March. But then also in March, March 18th is when I mentioned Uranus will move back into Taurus for the second time, right, with Jupiter. So we'll be conjoining Jupiter again, who rules Pisces. So that's kind of the tie to how it's related to all this. Bringing back that vibe of like revelations or, it's got like an upheaval kind of vibe too, or like revealing information. So Saturn will move there towards the end of the month. I think I want to say it's like March 29th or something, but earlier in the month of March 2025, Venus will be retrograde there in Pisces. Mercury will be retrograde there in Pisces. It will also be eclipse season because Rahu is there in Pisces. And Uranus will move back to conjoin Jupiter, the ruler of Pisces, March 18th, mid-month. So March 18th is a big, big month. There is a lot to that. I've been dissecting it on past episodes. So this is just one piece of the puzzle. I'll continue talking about it more as we get closer. It's also frequently a topic of the astrology office hours that I mentioned happen every Monday as part of the Vedic Astrology Club. That has been, which is my membership that's been closed for a long time. It's open again. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to sign up, and you can come to office hours any Monday and you can ask follow-up questions about your birth chart. You can ask general questions. People even ask me questions about like their giving readings, and nobody's ever shared anybody else's chart information because that would be unethical. You're welcome to share your own chart information, but please not your clients or people who haven't expressly given you permission to do that. Anyway, people ask all kinds of questions, and we've been talking about some of these greater karmic cycles. It's been a big topic, and this Saturn-Rahu conjunction in Pisces, which is ruled by Jupiter, happening in March of 2025, has been a big one, and we've been dissecting it. And so this Jupiter role is just that all, this is just one piece of the puzzle. I talked more about it in that Rahu and Ketu episode about the Saturn and Rahu conjunction specifically. But Jupiter being there, or Jupiter being in Taurus, so Jupiter matters to that mess happening in Pisces because Jupiter rules Pisces. And so Jupiter being in Taurus, and that's nearing the end of this Jupiter and Taurus transit, it will kind of heat up just all this stuff that I'm talking about, Jupiter and Taurus, because then also Uranus is moving back to Taurus during all of that heightened energy around Pisces, which will add fuel to the fire. It will, if there's anything, basically, like the way I like to put it is like with these longer transits, like I was saying, you're not going to wake up on the morning of May 1st, 2024, and your whole life is going to change. I heard a good analogy in a moment earlier. It's like, let's say you're coming in from a snowstorm, or a rainstorm. You've been out in the weather, your clothes are soaked, you're very cold, right? And you come inside and you're not just like warm and dry the moment you set your foot inside. You have to take off your coat, your wet shoes, you have to like start a fire, put some tea on, right? You have to do all these things, and then eventually you get the house warmed up, you get a warm beverage, you get dry clothes on, and you sit down in front of the fire, and then things are better, right? And so that's the kind of thing. It was like Jupiter moving to Taurus May 1st next week. You're not going to wake up. That's like stepping your foot in the house. You still got your wet clothes on. You still got, right? So that's kind of the deal with any of these longer transits, is like during the period where it's combust, that's where you're like still have your drenching wet clothes and you're trying to get the wood stove lighted. And if you never had a wood stove, then maybe you don't know. But if you have had one, then you do know. Anyway, it's like you're wrestling with your wet clothes. Jupiter's combust. You're not really feeling the effects yet, right? Things haven't started settling in. And then that retrograde is like things are heating up even more. And then Uranus moving back there is like now you're sitting down in front of the fire and things are really starting to heat up, if that makes sense in that analogy. And so I'm going to recap in just a moment, like what exactly I'm talking about is heating up. What exactly does this transit mean, right? These are just the sort of phases of it that I want you to be aware of. And so, yeah, so those are the important parts, because then that's getting us to the end of March. Then we only have pretty much April. And actually, interestingly, I wrote this date down. What is it? April 30th is when the shadow period ends. And so that's why I was like, don't worry too much about this shadow period, because it's darn near the entire transit is retrograde or shadow period with these longer term transits. That's why I don't, it almost feels even silly to bring it up. But it does help paint the picture of how it's like an arc of like things are ramping up and then the karmas are working their way out. And then it will be Jupiter and Taurus vibes will be winding their way down as Jupiter gets ready to move on to the next sign, to Gemini. Okay. And we'll talk about that when we get there, because that's a whole different thing. Okay. But now feels like a good time to move into like historically, what have we seen with Jupiter and Taurus? Because that just to me really, one more thing before I move into historically, because I know I can think of at least one person that will be happy to hear this, that the aspects of Jupiter during this transit, it will be aspecting K2 in Virgo the entire time, because it will move on to Gemini before K2 moves on from Virgo. Okay, so it'll be aspecting K2 in Virgo the entire time, aspecting the sign of Virgo. That's also good news if you're a Virgo. It will sort of increase Virgo rising or moon. It will like increase optimism for you a little bit extra, maybe require a little bit more personal growth from you. It might also ease the energy of what it feels like to have K2 on your ascendant or your moon, which I covered really in depth back in the fall. If you want to revisit those resources about around K2 in Virgo. And then Jupiter will also be aspecting this entire time the signs of Scorpio and Capricorn. And so same things go if you are a Scorpio or Capricorn rising or moon. This is especially good news for Capricorn moons, because you have been in your Sati Sati and optimism has probably been pretty low, especially since the peak of your Sati Sati began in January of 2020. So this will increase optimism for you, because also Jupiter will be moving out of Saturn's aspect finally on May 1st when it moves into Taurus. And so that's one good tick for optimism. And then another, especially for our Capricorn moons, this hopefully will be like some salve, some balm for your Sati Sati and all of the emotional challenges, lack of optimism, feelings of isolation. Hopefully Jupiter aspecting your moon for Capricorn moons should help. And so the last time, just to help you understand this transit a little bit more, the last time Jupiter was in Taurus was from May 17th of 2012 through May 30th of 2013. So you see it's a similar length of time, around the same time of year it moved. So you can think about what was happening in your life then and what that was like. That's a good reflection exercise to think about what were some major events in your life during May 2012 to May 2013. What was the vibe of that time like? What were things like for you? So that you can kind of assess what this might be like in your own life. But some themes historically, I only looked up major world events for the past two times Jupiter was in Taurus. And so is that May 2012 through 2013. And then previously before that, it was 1999 to 2000. And so some themes, I hate to say it, like I wish I didn't have to notice this as one of the themes, but it was, is that mass violence kind of kicks up during this time. And I think that's related to the fact that Jupiter in Taurus has a lot to do with belief systems. Jupiter expands things. So just to like, I hate to like get to like go there, but basically the Colorado theater shooting, the Sandy Hook and the Boston Marathon bombing all happened while Jupiter was in Taurus. And so I hate to like bring up those events. And then also we have other people who are like, they were staged, those events were staged or whatever. People are just like really funny about their beliefs about these things, right? That's a vibe of Jupiter in Taurus, is like people getting dogmatic about their beliefs and taking big action around that. And so that is an unfortunate theme I have noticed historically of that time. And another, because it's, and so like the thing is expansion, right? Like it's just like, there's always violence, but Jupiter expands is like mass violence, right? And so another big theme is some of the, what are described of like worst natural disasters in centuries. So there were a couple in that 2012 to 2013 timeframe, earthquakes. And so remember, Taurus is like an earth sign, right? And Jupiter's basically like expanding earth, if that makes sense. And so oftentimes earthquakes are related to fault lines either moving closer or further together, further apart, right? And so some earthquakes described as like the worst earthquakes in centuries happened during the last time Jupiter was in Taurus. And then also there was a meteor over Russia that made people really like start paying more attention to meteors and how they could affect us. There was also a solar storm that was like 9 days from annihilating Earth or something. Like, I don't know if y'all remember that, but I remember that. And it's just a lot of like end of times type stuff is like the vibe of Jupiter and Taurus. These like worst natural disasters we've seen in centuries, like close calls, right? Or like really bad like destruction from nature, from Mother Earth. And then also, so think about Y2K and the Mayan calendar thing. Those aren't natural disasters, but they're people being like, oh my God, it's the end of times, right? But so it's not all bad news. In the year 2000, during the time Jupiter was in Taurus, the economy was great. Unemployment was low. There was increases in GDP above inflation. Things were pretty good economically during that time. And then I found the statistic that said the finance, insurance, and real estate industry saw the largest pay increase in the private sector during the 2000 time. So two times ago that Jupiter was in Taurus. And then in 2012 to 2013 time that Jupiter was in Taurus was described as when the economy was basically, or at least the, like all of this is US. I'm saying all of this from a US perspective because I live in the US. But the economy was described as slow but stable in 2012 and 13. And it was also described as when we saw the rebound from the 2008 housing crisis. And so like I mentioned, Jupiter in Taurus has relation to things like, so it's a little bit less related to real estate than if Jupiter had been in Cancer, say. So we might even see this be like setting the stage where people are like getting their finances in order to be able to participate in real estate. Because I do know as of late, what we've seen with the housing market is housing prices are way outpacing wages. So we might start to see that shift to come more in line with people's wages are doing better, hopefully. Like, that's optimistic of me to say that, but based on the past couple times Jupiter has been in Taurus, we might start to see some rebound of the economy, some like slow but stable finance-wise stuff happening as this transit plays out, right? Like, we're not gonna wake up on May 1st, but probably by the end of it, we will have worked out some of the economic stuff we've been having going on since COVID, really, since the pandemic. And that kind of stuff is what we've been investigating in the office hours of like, we're zoomed into Jupiter right now, and office hours, we've been talking about, like, the role of Saturn and this and Rahu and Ketu and past historical cycles of conjunctions between these major karmic planets and how they're the same or different. Okay, so I had some more, like, examples. I will put the list of, like, major world events that I had that goes in the sign-by-sign for this for folks in the Vedic Astrology Club. But I'm not going to read them off now. I hope you got the vibe. So just to recap, before we get into yoga practices and journal prompts, Jupiter is the gas giant known as Guru in Sanskrit. So it expands everything it touches. It's the biggest planet. It is maybe larger than life, right? It also has this connection to spiritual beliefs, to dogma, to religious systems, to teachings, right? Spirituality, and also like gifts and benevolence and generosity and humanitarianism, but also just like expanding the good with the bad, right? That's kind of like what I was talking about with the Jupiter and Taurus time. Taurus is this earth sign, has a connection to Mother Nature, Mother Earth. And that's like, we've seen the worst during Jupiter and Taurus times before. We've seen the worst in centuries, like, right, the worst natural disasters, just like the biggest. There's this grand quality to the good with the bad, if that makes sense. And so Taurus being the earth sign, connection to nature, connection to Mother Earth, connection to groundedness, also ruled by Venus, there's a connection to indulgence, wealth, luxury, family of origin, and so especially like to put that together, the overall energies are like how your family of origin influences your spiritual beliefs, your lineage, things like that, how that influences your financial beliefs, your money stories, your diet, how you talk, all of those things are going to be brought up during this time. So on a collective level, the overall energies are economic shifts, usually in a positive direction. You just have to be mindful of your spending because it can be a good time for increasing resources. It can also be a good time for increasing spending. So if you are mindful of your spending and not overindulging, then it can be a good time to increase your bank account as long as you're not increasing your expenses right along with it, right? That makes sense. It's also a good time for environmental initiatives, like, but usually what we see is like because there's some disaster, like the big meteor over Russia that caused destruction in 2012 or 13. I have the date written in those dates I mentioned, that'll be in the notes for you to get the sign by sign, started this big initiative for people to start paying more attention to meteors and like, oh God, we need to pay attention to that. Right. So it's usually out of necessity. So that could be bad news climate wise. Like maybe something happens, things heat up, especially maybe while Mars is at play, or Uranus, things might heat up to a degree. No pun intended. Sorry for the poor taste joke for what we have going on climate-wise right now to where people are like, oh God, we need to do something about this, right? And then there's also, in a collective level, a greater emphasis on ethical behavior, diplomacy, things like that. That's actually, you'll see some events related to that in the list that I have that I'll share with those of you in the Vedic Astrology Club. On ethical behavior, diplomacy in business and politics. So hopefully that's a good thing. The last time Jupiter was in Taurus, we had Barack Obama getting inaugurated for his second term. And whatever you feel about him politically is not the point. The man could unite people. And that was the last president I remember really uniting people in a big way. He was very diplomatic. And so that's a good Jupiter and Taurus vibe. And then on a personal level, the overall energies are there's good opportunities for financial growth, for a deeper connection to nature, like spiritual experiences in nature, and a renewed appreciation for life's pleasures. So it's a good time for this whole year that Jupiter is in Taurus. It'll be a good time for connecting with nature, remembering her power, and then also spiritual and humanitarian efforts without the dogma, connecting to your true values. It is a good time also for financial planning and building a secure foundation. So watching those expenses, trying to funnel some of your hopefully windfall energy of money into assets and not just letting it slip right through your fingers again. It's a bad time for being overindulgent with food or impulsive spending. It's also a bad time for being stubborn about religious views. And it's a bad time for kapha imbalance. So that's that earth element dosha, or stagnation. If you let yourself get too stuck or too dogmatic, you can see stagnation expand in your life. And maybe also that kapha imbalance bringing fluid retention, swelling, things like that. So your yoga practices to deal with that would be dry brushing and Abhyanga. Happy to provide resources. I feel like this comes up with every single one of my yoga therapy clients. It's something I recommend to keep the circulation going. And legs up the wall is another good one to just, if you do feel that fluid buildup or stagnation, put your legs up the wall, let the, you know, fluid drain. It's also a good time for abundance rituals, gratitude practice, affirmations related to that, doing things ceremoniously, and svadhyaya, especially text study or self-study, examining your beliefs and your values. And that's what that leads us well into the journal prompts. I have some for you to help you figure that out. So number one, explore your relationship with material abundance. What stories around money did you inherit from your family of upbringing or your family of origin? Number two, are those still serving you, right? What does financial stability mean to you now? And then journal prompt number two, reflect on your personal values regarding money and possessions. How do they align with your actions and decisions? Journal prompt number three, how often and in what ways do you connect to nature in your daily life, and does it feel like it needs to increase? Number four, this is a values exercise. You want to come up with your top three values, and I'm running out of time. I have to jump on a yoga therapy client meeting. That's why I just started rushing at the end. I'm going to share this only with the folks in the membership. So, and along with some examples. And so you can try this out. And with that, I hope this episode serves you well. I hope Jupiter in Taurus brings abundance in your life. And I wish you the best. Please remember to keep your feet on the ground, your head in the stars, and stay in the light. Until next time, friends, take good care of yourselves.